I want to talk a little bit as we're wrapping up talking about living within his means. Living within his means, living in the unlimited power, potential, and provision of his resources that are available to us as a result of the covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ. We are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. Over the last few teachings, I believe God has helped us to identify and how to break free from the scarcity mentality that often we grow up in, but we don't realize that we grow up in it. And then we recognize how that his resources are unlimited. Come on, say unlimited. Unlimited. Say that again, unlimited. God's resources are unlimited. And so as we finish out this time, I want to share a few passages of scripture that speak to seeing God's covenant provision. You see, I think, well, for me coming in here today, I think I spent last night just reading over these scriptures and meditating, and they did something on the inside of me. They caused me to just have this expectation and continue to settle some things around trusting God and believing God. As we were singing, it's in your hands, my life and every plan. Even when I don't know best, I'll leave it in your hands. I've learned to trust you. Leave it in your hands. There is experiential reality, and then there's the scriptures that we can go to that help to make this thing real for us. We can look in the scriptures and we can see over and over and over that God is serious about his word. God is serious about his word. And so I want to focus on just a few passages of scripture. Then I'm going to lead us in a time of communion and praying for health and wholeness and breakthrough. Hallelujah. Then we'll worship in our giving, and then we're going to go over and fellowship together. And we are having koinonia today, yes? Yes? Okay, somebody nod their head like we really are. Do I need to go over there and fix something before? To make sure we got some food or whatever. So in Exodus chapter 12, and verse 33, I love the word of God. Anybody else love the word of God? I love the word of God. At the end of the day, that's all that's going to be left. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, it'll still be there. I love the word of God. And so I seek out and I search out the passages of scripture when he's speaking to me. And so here in Exodus 12, verse 33, Exodus 12:33, and Pastor Deborah, if you'll work with me and put those up on the screen so those that see it can follow along, and I may have you read a couple of passages with me as well. It says, the Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we will all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, said, with their kneading bowls, bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. They're saying, y'all get out of here, like right now. Then it says this, and this is the part I want you to read with me. Okay, so here we go. It says, now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have their requests. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Man, think about that now. Now we're talking about seeing God's covenant provision. We're talking about living within his means, his resources. Now what makes that powerful, what we just read, is that this is God fulfilling his word. This is God fulfilling his word. So now I want to go back to Genesis 15. Pastor Deborah, go to Genesis 15 and verse 12. In Genesis 15, this is where God established covenant with Abraham. Now, you remember that he called Abraham and sent him forth. And it says in chapter 15 that God put him to sleep. He established this covenant, but then he said something very specific to him. And that's what I want you to see. So here we are again. We're going to read together. You ready? You ready? Okay. Here we go. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Okay, now stop there. He's telling them, your people are going to be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. I want you to really grab a hold of this morning, that God created time. He's marking time. There is not one day of your life, not one hour, not one minute, not one second that he doesn't know concerning you and I. Okay? I want you to know this, that when he says something like that, the moment he says it, the clock is ticking. He's marking time. When God speaks to you and he speaks to I, he already has the schedule set. That's why the scriptures talk about appointed times. There is, we understand the kairos and the chronos. The kairos, the season. Chronos is the succession of moments. But he says here to them, he says they're going to be strangers in the land that's not theirs. They're going to be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But look at the next part he says, and this one I don't get to. Says, but I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions. Now, I want you to just clap your hands right there and just take a moment, because you may find yourself feeling somewhat oppressed or dealing with some situations, but never lose sight of the fact that God's not going to bring you out of it empty-handed. I'm going to clap right there for myself. Hey, because I can think about the things that I've been through and things that I'm working through, and I'm recognizing I'm not coming out empty-handed. I'm coming out with everything that God's intended for me to have at the time that I come out. And so you see here how that.
Thank you, Lord.
God marks the time from what he said to Abraham, and now says to them, now on your way out.
Come out.
Now on your way out, ask for the stuff.
Come out.
I don't know how God does it. I don't know how he works. But somehow he brought those Egyptians to the end of themselves. Broken to the degree that I don't care what you take, just get out of here. I mean, here's the thing. You got to let, in this place of trusting, you got to let it go the length of time God intended for it to go. In order to be able to get the maximum kingdom manifestation, the maximum glory out of it, the maximum fruit out of it. You got to be willing to go through some things. You got to be willing to pay the price, stand your ground, stay in place, even though you don't like it, even though it's a tough time. Because what God is looking to do is produce fruit, and fruit that remains. Fruit is one thing. Fruit that remains is what you really want. But that's going to take some time. That may take some work. It may take working through a struggle. It may take working through a challenge. But at the end of it all, you just say, glory! Get the glory. I give you glory. When Paul spoke concerning Abraham, said, not being weak in his faith, but giving glory to God. And it was Bob Sorge that was with us that so wonderfully helped us to see that. But it says he wavered not. I remember Bob said, "You got to be kidding. You can't." No, that guy, until he got the revelation. Just like our journey in faith. It's on a trajectory. It's not like this. It's like this. But you're going up, you're going up, you're going up. I was talking with a pastor yesterday. He called me, a young man in Columbus that building relationship with him. He's asked me to provide covering for him. And he calls me. He says, I just need some encouragement. I said, okay. So we began to talk, and he said, you know, we're going through some things right now. He said, and I never thought I'd be back at this place again. I never thought I'd be back at this place again. And this is what I understand. I understand what I said to him. I said, son, you're not back where you were. I said, you have to understand this. You are spiraling, okay? And if we can see, we are ascending, y'all. You understand that? Okay, so it may look the same, but it's not the same. I told him, first of all, he said, it feels like I'm back where I started. Well, how old is the church now? 7 years. So you're saying you're back where you were 7 years ago. He said, that's what it feels like. I said, you're not. I said, you're wiser. You're stronger. I said, and I want you to understand this, that while it may look like you're looking at the same stuff again, your vantage point has changed. Because now it's not on the same plane with you. You are above it. Now you may look at it differently now. And I want you to understand that's exactly the way God intends for you and I to walk out this life. You will see some things that look similar, but you're not the same, so it's not the same. That's a good time to clap right there. God speaks a word and says, I'm going to bring them out in 400 years, and I'm going to bring them out with stuff. They're on their way out, and they just simply say, can I get that? Can I have that? God had already moved in such a way that the things that he promised, the provision, the resources, were already available. He's a covenant-keeping God. I'm talking about you seeing God's covenant provision. Jesus modeled it for his disciples Matthew 21. Let's look here real quick. Matthew 21 and verse 1. So we're going to put that on the screen, and we're going to read this together. I want you to see how God's resources are everywhere. But here's the key. But sometimes you got to ask. You have not because you ask not. So you with me? That was three of y'all. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage, it says, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied in a coat with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Man, think about that. Think about that. What has God already set up in terms of, out of his resources, provision for you that's already there waiting for you? You just have to go in faith and trust and believe and maybe a little bit of courage, because for them to go into the town and start unlatching a donkey, it could look like they're stealing it. Hey, that doesn't belong to you. Well, wait a minute. There you go. No. You may think it doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to my Father. And he has sent me to get it. Now, once I talk to who I need to talk to, this donkey's going with me. I love the fact that he says, when you get into town, you're going to see a donkey tied up. Your donkey's waiting for you. Your donkey's waiting. The provision is waiting for you. See, why was that important? Why was that important? Because God was fulfilling his word spoken by the prophet that he would ride in on a donkey. I want you to understand this. Jesus, while they had to ask, Jesus wasn't asking. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Jesus was like, that's my donkey. Listen, I got a donkey. I got a donkey over there in that town. Now, you're going to have to ask for it. If I was going, I'd just get it. But I'm giving you authority to go and ask for it. It's the same way right now. This is living in his means, his resources. Because Jesus wasn't asking for it. But they needed to ask for it. God is fulfilling his word. They needed the donkey to fulfill the prophetic word spoken. What has God spoken to you that he's already set the resources there? You just got to get there or send somebody to get it. When we launched into this building, right, to purchase this building right here, the way that I thought it was going to go, it didn't go that way. The banker that we thought we was going to work with, because we knew them, had banking relationship with them, we thought that was the route to go. We sat down, we had the conversation, and when we walked out, we knew that that wasn't going to happen. Again, only for that branch manager to pull up beside me in a parking lot within an hour after we left the bank and said, John, I'm so sorry that meeting went that the way that it went, but I'm going to give you the name of another banker who I believe would do this deal for you. That was like God saying, I'm going to send you over here to this town, which was another, it was Eaton, Ohio. It's up north, I believe. Little small town. Your donkey's in Eaton. Your provision is up there. Didn't know the man from Adam. Called him up on the phone. I sent him some information about me, about the ministry. And when I walked in his office, he said, you're a man of many talents. How do we, he says, tell me a little bit more about your vision. I like what you're doing. I'm talking about seeing God's covenant provision. Can I get a few more of y'all to clap that's believing for something beyond where you live right now? And those that are watching, oh, help me, Jesus. The provision. The provision. The provision. You think it's over here, but it's not. You think it's over here, but it's not. But God sends word to you to tell you where it's at. From the very person you thought was going to be your answer. Let's look at one more example. Now, we're talking about provision. We're talking about it already being set in place. Already being set in place. So let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 7, Pastor Deborah. Luke 22. Is that verse 7? Yeah, I see it there. All right, y'all got it? Y'all ready?
Yes.
See, y'all not working with me. Hey. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay, just help me out here. I just want folks to know there are some people here in this sanctuary other than me. Here we go. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. They said to him, where do you want us to prepare it? He said to them, when you have entered the city, here you go again, and you got to go to the city. When you enter the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large room, furnished upper room, prepared there. Come on, say, already ready. Already ready, already furnished. Large room. You're not cramped in like trying to take communion. Large room. Come on, y'all seen the painting of the Last Supper? That's a large room. I don't, them pictures, y'all know that ain't really how it looked. Okay. But I'm just trying to get some humor here. Seeing God's covenant provision. All through the scriptures, you see provision. You have to continue to remind yourself of his provision in your life every day of your life. Sometimes we get into the cycle that's mundane. We go to work. We come home. We do whatever we have to do. We go to bed. We get up. We go to work. But what we've got to build into it is whatever space of time that continues to give honor to God, to give glory to God, to thank him every day that you go to work. He blessed you with that job. Even when you get to the point that you don't like the job, I'm still praising you and thanking you that I'm not on welfare. I'm not standing in this line. I'm not on government assistance. I'm living within your means that you provide for me, believing that more that you have for me is yet to come. Yeah. You see, in God's covenant provision, he will always provide it, and very often provide it before it's needed. This is where the stewardship comes in. That when you get the resources, you just don't go out and buy something. You just don't spend it. Okay? You set it aside and you wait and see, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Let me show an example that I'm talking about here. Now we're in Exodus 35. Exodus 35 and verse 4. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read this. Deborah can put it on the screen, but you don't have to read it with me. Okay? Exodus 35, verse 4. It says, Moses spoke to the congregation, the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Says, whoever is of willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, and blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, and porpoise skins, and Arcadia wood, and oil for lighting, and spices, and for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and setting stones for the ephod, and for the breastplate. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Where did they get that stuff? Where did they get it? They got it from the Egyptians. They were wealthy in the wilderness. Wealthy in the wilderness. Somebody write that down. I'm going to write a book off of that one. Wealthy in the wilderness.
Come on.
Pastor Jamal, I got it. Wealthy in the wilderness. Is it possible that you can be wealthy while you're still in your wilderness, whatever? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's where you want to be. You want to have it. It's a paradigm. It's a mind shift that even while I'm finding myself in this place, Rhonda, I'm still wealthy. Even while I'm in this wilderness, I'm still wealthy. Even while I'm in this challenge, I'm still wealthy. Even while I'm working through this breakthrough, they're in the wilderness, and Moses. It speaks now, they're building the tabernacle of Moses. That's what's going on here. And what I love about it, God gives him specific blueprints and plans. Specific blueprints and plans, and it says over and over and over and over, and the Lord did as God commanded Moses, and the people did. He gave them instruction after instruction after instruction. God drew on what he had given them. He draws on what he has given you. When God is pulling, when God is pulling on you, calling on you, pulling you into a place of purpose and destiny, he is not guessing. He has already made provision, and somehow he has already worked in you so that you can step into it and you really do have the capacity for it, whether you recognize it or not. The question is, will you step into it and trust him even in the midst of it? I'm gonna clap right there myself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He tells them, now we're going to build this. All the stuff they have came from when they left Egypt. They're wealthy and don't know it. This isn't true. It says gold, silver, bronze. Do you know how expensive purple robe was back in the day? In this time, the colors, what it took to get the colors, the plant life that had to be taken and worked with, mud and soil in order to get the right color and then blend it into the material. All of their wealth came from God. All of the provision came from God. Now, here's just a caveat. Because you see, you can have those resources and misuse those resources. And depending on where your state of mind is, has everything to do with what you do with it. Just like when Moses was up on the mountain getting instructions from God, they took some of that same wealth they had because now they don't know what's going on. Moses is on the mountain, doesn't look like he's coming back. Look, y'all, we need to build an altar. We need to build a calf. We need to build an idol, and we need to get another leader, and we need to head on back to Egypt. And so it says they took their trinkets and their bracelets and their rings, and they melted them down, and they made that golden calf. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I want you to understand that in this place of recognizing God's covenant provision, once he puts it in your hand, hear me, this is where it gets kind of touchy. Once he puts it in your hand, it's yours. But he is watching to see what you're going to do with it. Now, those whom he trusts, he releases more to them. They've proven themselves that they won't squander what they receive. They will use it wisely. And when I tell them to do X, Y, and Z with it, they will do X, Y, and Z with it. They won't resist me, but they will respond in obedience. I can trust them with the millions. Yeah. See, I'm going to just say it one more time. I said it. Everybody don't need to be a millionaire. Live well? Yes. Live in abundance? Yes. Be able to be a blessing to others? Yes. But don't everybody need to be a millionaire? Because some can't handle it. Can't handle the stewardship of it. If you can't handle the stewardship of your regular paycheck, honoring God with it as well. So I'm going to keep moving on because I don't want y'all to shut down on me. So here in Exodus 36, now we were in 35. Look at this. I'm moving this along quickly here. In Exodus 36, starting at verse 1, it says, I love the caption in my Bible. It says, the tabernacle underwritten. The tabernacle underwritten. I love that. Yeah. It's not up there. It's here. It's my secret note. Yeah. The tabernacle underwritten. There's not one thing that God has purposed to do that he has not already underwritten. Yeah. There's not one thing that God would require of you that takes resources that he has not already underwritten. And when I say resources, I'm not talking about just money, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. He has already underwritten it. The challenge is that sometimes we take it on and we make it be our responsibility when he never intended for it. Our attention, our energy to go there, but here. So it says, now Bezalel and Aholiab, we'll say that. Them names, you know, I'll be making them up. I just go in tongues. And every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. I want you to get this right here. Now we're talking about resources. We're talking about his provisions, okay? His means. God always underwrites it with everything needed. Okay? So when we started this and we needed certain things in place, it was in the house. And if it wasn't in the house, it was on the way. I remember when Pastor Gary and Andrea came, they came right at the time that we needed that level of gifting in the house. When they came, we needed the floor painted in F3. And Gary came and met Gary, and you know, we talked a little about the music thing. He says he's a bass player. I said, yeah, okay, but I need to paint this floor right now. But no, I didn't do that. But we said we're gonna get together and talk about music. We did, and God doesn't just answer the one need. He will often bring the more that's needed. And once he got here, after painting our floor so beautifully and all the other things that he's done in this building that you have no knowledge of, he expressed his desire in his heart for outreach. That's what brought him here. So now they're the pastors over our outreach ministry. And he's a phenomenal bass player. So we got like 3-for-1 or something like that. It says, every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding. That's you all. That's each one of you. That's all of us. It goes on and says, then Moses called for Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill. Now, we're not talking about money, but skill. We're talking about resources. We're talking about provision. Everyone whose heart stirred him to come to do and perform the work. They received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And they still continued to bring to him free will offerings every morning. Wealthy in the wilderness. And all the skillful men who are performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing, and said to Moses, now catch this, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction. For the construction work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses issued a command. And a proclamation. Don't bring another thing up in here. Let no man, woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. For the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for all the work to perform it. Now that is a testimony to God's resources and God's means. They're still giving out of what they brought out of Egypt.
Right.
Wealthy in the wilderness. Wealthy and didn't really recognize it. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, "Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?'" And we've looked at this many times. Nehemiah chapter 2. We looked at this many times. Nehemiah is working for the king. But the king looks at his countenance and recognizes something's a little off. When you really know people, they don't have to say anything. You can just look at their face, be close enough to them, say, "Hey, what's going on? Something just seems a little off. You good?" Nehemiah said, "No, I'm not good." He shares with him what he's upset about. And the king says, "What would you request?" I want you to notice here, it says this. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." So I pray. He didn't just start talking. "I prayed to the God of heaven." It's like he's standing there with the king. He was the cupbearer. That means he tasted, ate anything before the king did. He's standing there. And then all of a sudden, the king says, what would you like? What would you require? And it's like he said, "Hold on just a minute." "King, this is what I need." See, he went to the God of all creation first. That's how you land in the place of his resources and not yours. He says, "If it please the king and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild." The king said to me, the wife sitting beside him, "How long will the journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, now we're back to asking. We're back to courage to ask. Oftentimes the resources are there, but you got to ask. You got to ask. You got to ask. I want to take this moment. I want to thank all of you in this house that continually sow into F3.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. Because every week, Pastor Nina sends out an ask, and you all graciously respond, and it helps us to help take care of these men. Now they do pay us. However, your giving helps us to steward the resources in many of the areas that we need it in, besides just feeding the men.
That's right.
But Pastor Nina, she's just not asking our house. Matter of fact, she's out talking to companies and stores, and the favor that's on her brings it in. But you have to be able to ask. You see, when we talk about living within his means or his resources, one of the things that you have to know is often is what's required of you, that God will require something of you. I know we talk a lot about it. We pray, not a lot, but we'll pray about when we're giving and we're saying, you know, "I thank God for checks in the mail." Well, did you do anything to get a check in the mail? Yeah. Now, there are times when people will send a check in the mail, and I've gotten some of those just sit in the mail, and thank God for Cash App. But sometimes what shows up is because of something you've already done. It just shows up at the right time. Does it make sense to you? So he goes on and he says, "If it please the king," now here's the resources, "let letters be given for the governors and the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah." So what's he praying for now? What's he say, asking for now? Access. Access. Sometimes you want to pray for access. Then it goes on there. It says, "And a letter from Asaph, the keeper of the king's forests, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city and the house to which I go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand, favor of God was on me. Most believers have in their life what I would call untapped, unutilized favor. Untapped, unutilized favor. Because they've not been taught that as a believer, you do have favor. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. There is a favor that very often many never ever exercise or draw on. Nehemiah is saying, these things were done because of the good hand, the favor of God on me. Everything needed to rebuild those walls were made available through the resources of the king. The letters, the access, the tools, everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more example. I hope this is helping you. I'll just tell you it helped me. The book of Ezra, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, and that goes back to Jeremiah 29. If you go back to Jeremiah 29, Pastor Deborah, put that up for me real quick. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. Okay, because I need y'all to see this. Now, we're still talking about how God watches over his word and he marks time. He's not late. He's never late. He's always right on time. Jeremiah 29 is starting at verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." For, and now this is the part we really like to read right here. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes." I will restore your fortunes. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to this place where I sent you into exile. Now listen to this. There is a place in God, in our relationship with him, that particularly as spirit-filled believers, where we don't have to live our lives as if we're guessing. We can truly live out of a place of purpose and out of destiny. He's saying to them, you're going to be here. Quit listening to the false prophets who are telling you that. This is Jeremiah. He says, you're going to be here for 70 years, but this is God's promise. He's going to take care of you while you're in captivity. It's kind of like the wealthy in the wilderness. He's going to take care of you. And at the end of 70 years, he's going to come and get you. But when he comes and gets you, he says, he's going to restore your fortunes. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word," in some translations it says the good word, "in order to perform the good word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah." What word is he talking about? That word we just read. "The Lord stirred the heart," the Lord stirred the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, "so that he sent a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and also put in writing saying, 'Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Wherefore, there is among you of whoever there is among you of his people, may his God be with you. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem." Then he says this, "Every survivor at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." That is the fulfillment of that word. And that is the way God is working in the lives of his people. That's the way he's working in your life and in my life. That's the way he desires to work in our lives. But we've got to hold on to his word and the exactness of his word, not extrapolate, not pull out what we want to hear about it, but all of it. You see, they had to embrace all of the word. That you're going to be here 70 years, but you're going to be okay. As a matter of fact, when you read through that passage, the encouragement is, so build some houses, increase your families, stay strong, because in 70 years, I'm coming back for all of y'all, and when I bring you out, I'm going to bring you out with fortune. Our God is serious about his covenant. That's why when Jesus is speaking in Matthew 6, he's saying, you have to recognize I'm bringing you into a covenant relationship with my Father. Once you're in that covenant relationship, every need you may think you have is already taken care of. Every resource you would need to fulfill purpose and destiny is already, say already. I want you to catch this now. It's already set aside. It's already there somewhere. I'm trying to really pull this in, and so let me give you just real quick example here. This will be a good ending. 1 Chronicles 22. You remember that David? Remember how David wanted to build a house for God, and God said that won't happen because your hands are bloody. You had a man murdered. No, you can't do it. But this is what David does. David then passes that on to his son. But what I want you to see is how he set him up for success. This is the same way for us. This is the same thing God has purposed to do, already done for us through Jesus Christ. He's already set up our success. We just have to live in that place, mentally, spiritually, relationally. We just have to get there. In 1 Chronicles 22, starting at verse 5, it says, "Then David said, 'This is the house, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar, of burnt offering of Israel.' So David gave orders to gather the foreigners." Now, here it is. We're talking about resources. "So David gave orders to gather the foreigners who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters to hew out stones to build the house of God. David prepared large quantities. Say large quantities. He prepared large quantities of iron to make the nails, for the doors of the gates and for the clamps, and more bronze than could be weighed. The timbers of the cedar logs beyond number for the Sidonians and the Tyrians brought large quantities of cedar timber to David. Now hear this. David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout the lands. Therefore, I will make preparation for it. So David made ample preparation before his death. That's a father leaving a legacy. That's a father leaving inheritance. But what I love about it, when I read that on last evening, so David made ample preparation before his death. Immediately, the thought that came to my mind was that Jesus made eternal preparations through his death, his burial, and his resurrection for you and I. Come on. And everything in between, I'm talking about here on earth, has already been established. And just as David made the natural preparations for his son to be successful in fulfilling that vision, God, through his son Jesus, has made preparation for you and I. You've just got to get in the right place. You've got to get in the right frame of mind. You've got to get in the right place of relationship in God so that you can live out that reality and not a lesser reality that we oftentimes find ourselves in. And on that note, I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah.